Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LEGO Masters recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episodes 8, 9, and 10 of LEGO Masters Season 2. And I am not alone. Of course, with me, as always, is my fabulous co-host, Marisa Connors. Marisa, how are you?
I am doing awesome, Liana. How are you?
Oh, wow. I'm just so great, and I'm just so ready to get my brick on. I'm not going to lie. This season has been super fun. I feel like not to compare too much, but I think that some of the challenges this season have just been really outside of the, I was going to say box, but Lego brick.
Right?
And like, just because the puppet one that we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mind blown. I wouldn't even think of that. And I will tell you, I was having lunch with a colleague the other day, and she said, she was like, yeah, have you heard of this show, Lego Masters? And I was like, I didn't have the heart to tell her. Like yes, I spent hours talking about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of an in-depth analysis about it.
I can tell you everything. But she was like, yeah, it's a really fun, creative show. I really like all the things they do. And I'm like, yeah. Same.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I actually just got a couple of my colleagues, I didn't realize because I wear a silicone wedding ring at work because, you know, I get my hands dirty and I work with equipment. And so they didn't realize I was such a big Lego fan somehow, even though I've got a Lego plant in my office and, you know, random stuff. But yeah, so I had to show them pictures of my wedding ring that actually has Lego and everything.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, holy cow. Huh.
Yeah, it was like, it was also that moment too, which I'm sure you felt this with your coworkers of like, oh, I think my obsession is past normal people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think
it's a little bit abnormal.
A picture of my office on Twitter. I should do that sometime because it's a little excessive, love it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, speaking of it's excessive, but I love it. That really truly is the show Lego Masters. Cause we have, So like I said, we have three episodes to talk about. We're going to talk about Puppet Masters, Land and Sea, and Flip My Block. And I just, again, I'm like really loving these episodes. And I think this is also good. We got clarity. We actually are probably going to have 12 episodes this season because obviously it didn't end with episode 10. So
yeah, right. I think that kind of solved our discussion from last time. You know, we had an inkling there might be some more, and this really kind of cemented it because there's three, you know, we know there was three in the final as of last season. So I kind of assumed there would be the same. And because of how the 10th episode ended, that really provides us with two more episodes pretty strongly.
Right, exactly. So we get the, like you're alluding to, the non-elimination for episode 10. And then that leaves us, I think even with the preview for next week, they essentially alluded to the fact that it is the penultimate episode because they have to build a castle. Well, we'll get there. But anyway, whoever wins the challenge gets a spot in the finale. So then, okay, sure. Cool.
Yep, right. We got two. And I know we brought this up, but it seemed like these three episodes went by so fast because we had all those pauses in the last three episodes. That I was like, I got to schedule time to record this podcast. What's going on?
I know.
That's why we're a few days late doing this.
I started thinking that too. I was like, oh, wait, crap. That's this week.
Yeah. So yeah, worked out. We'll still get it out.
Exactly. Nevertheless, look, we're here. We're going to talk about it. And then, of course, we'll get together one more time for the last two episodes. But let's talk about it. And let's start with Puppet Masters. So that was episode 8, where the teams are tasked with putting on a puppet show. Have you ever heard of this, Marisa, putting on a puppet show with Legos?
No, this one is actually new to me. I mean, I've seen characters with moving mouths and stuff, but never in puppet form. And to build one in 10 hours with all the working parts, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. I'm like still amazed. And the fact that so many of the different teams have all these different types of movement. So it was, the mouth move, but then also they'd figure out how to make the arms move. And then they had to literally incorporate some type of unique movement on top of all of that, I think was just really, I didn't even know you could do all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it was really impressive. And it was really neat to see how creative the teams got with what that extra movement was going to be versus just a mouth moving while they're talking. That was mm-hmm. neat.
Well, and we got to see some team interactions, sort of, that they had to perform the puppet show together. But then ultimately, it felt like they edited the whole thing together as one. Yeah. So it didn't feel as much of the, because we
team
saw, what was,
yeah,
what was the one with?
It was the superhero villain in the first season, yes, that they kind of started separately and then they had to come together as a team. Or yeah, you know, two sets of teams came together. So yeah, it was reminiscent of that. But the way this one was edited didn't seem like they didn't show the little short play. They just showed little snippets and they were kind of melded in with everybody else. And so, yeah, it was mm-hmm. more of a variety show.
Yeah, because there was a little bit like when they were coming up with their initial ideas that it was like, oh, okay, well, let's maybe try to do something thematic. But it's not like the DJ and the fencer.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. You know, we've got, you had the dragon and the princess that like, oh, okay, they could live in the same world. But I mean, a fencer and a DJ could, but it's not what I would think to put together. So, yeah. Right.
Whatever, they're just about to get lit before they go fight some swords or whatever you do as
fight
a fencer.
Swords,
I don't know.
Huh?
Fight with swords.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Fight them swords.
Yeah, fight them swords. Normal. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, really what they're challenged with here is that they had to create that unique personality, one movable feature that sets it apart. And then, you know, of course, movement's important. I don't know if you know this, but movement is important. And then the other thing we see is we get Billy the puppet, who really had a prominent role on this episode.
You mean Billy Puppet?
Oh, yes.
Because it was...
Oh, it's the puppet.
Right, because of Arnett.
Arnett puppet. Oh, okay.
I get it now. Okay. Yeah, that was fun. And I know I said it when we were talking about the preview last time, but just because of Arrested Development, you know, once the episode started, I kind of got over it, but there was still that little bit of Franklin the crept in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, maybe it was different because it was clearly supposed to be like a Will Arnett.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like Will was doing the puppet of Will. Right. Like, they were very distinct characters, so that helped me get over it as well. But yes,
it was closer though to the My Name is Judge.
Yes.
That's I kept thinking of that one.
Too. Oh, yes, with the
the magazine fold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
My Name is Judge.
Judge My Name. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Little Arrested Development insight there.
All right.
So, this was a super creative, like, I think it took a lot of teams outside their element a little bit because, yeah, some of them are really good at building characters, but incorporating that movement and making it, I mean, they brought it up on a couple teams and there was kind of three teams that went the heavy, bigger route and three that went the smaller route that was easier to handle. And I think that was a good challenge because, you know, you think of this character in your head and trying to keep it manageable so that you're not, you know, lifting over your head, which is one of the harder things to keep up with, I think is really impressive.
And Lego pieces have a finite size, right? So you can only shrink it so small before you start to lose detail. So it's like, right, how do you keep it light, small, but still get the shaping in and
sturdy enough to not fall apart when you start bringing it down scale wise. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Which, and then your hand has to fit inside of it because you have to do all the movement.
Yeah, right. Hopefully somebody has small hands on each team, but
yeah, right. If you've got bear paws, that's going to be tough to,
yeah,
to
right,
deal with. Okay. Let's talk about some of these teams. So the first two that we get is Mark and Steven and Caleb and Jacob, which the whole mantra of keep your friends close, but your enemies close, I thought was really funny to hear them talk about.
Especially because it's two sets of brothers. And there was definitely a dynamic that developed where there was two that were a little more confident and, you know, forceful in their ideas than the other two, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, they're a fun foursome, sort of, like between all of them, because I think they have interesting dynamics between the teams themselves, but then also when you get all four of them in a room together, then right, I think that also is really interesting. And we've sort of seen their interactions pick up over the course of the season, but I think it really comes to a head here and even in the next episode where we get a lot of them.
Yeah, right. Well, and we've talked about that, you know, they're trying to kind of build this rivalry editing wise, you know, or otherwise, and it's been kind of fun to see that develop as well.
Yeah. All right. So we start this whole thing with them where they both want to do dragons, but ultimately then end up with Mark and Steven doing Bernie, the burnt out dragon. And then Caleb and Jacob have Samantha, the sassy princess.
And she was very sassy. I was actually really impressed how they brought out the sass in her character.
Yeah, she was quite sassy. And I thought also the voice that they were doing was pretty funny too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I thought both all of them did.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I like Bernie's voice. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, no, that just fits that character so well. That was great.
Well, and we get a lot of foreshadowing with them, with Mark and Steven also, because it's like, oh no, is it too small? You know, is it going to be enough? Is it going to be enough detail? And then ultimately, like, they end up winning the challenge. So clearly they knew what they were doing.
Well, and when we talk about character, you know, development, not voice development, but the actual development of the physical shape, I know from last season and even previously in this season, they talk a lot about, you know, it's easy to make more geometric bricky type shapes, but they did really well rounding everything out and making it look, you know, not like kind of this rectangular that just happens to have a little bit of curvature to it. So I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and it feels like everything, all of the pieces that face out, like none of them are the traditional like square Lego bricks. They all look curved in some way. I have like genuinely no idea how they did it, but it's really impressive. And then to incorporate all of the eyebrow movement too on top of that, it's really amazing.
No, they definitely kind of dove into that term we've learned, studs not on top, which is where you have kind of the rotational where the studs are out. So you can put these curved ones that are usually on top of things on the side to help build out that character.
How do you like start that process of getting the studs out on the side? Because you start with the studs up. Yeah. And then do you get them on the side?
Or you start with them on the side.
How?
I mean, there's nothing that says you can't build sideways.
Oh,
but there's also blocks that will, you know, have a stud on one side and a stud 90 degrees to that. So you can rotate that way. Man, we're going to have to go through boot camp. I'm going to have to fly you out here and we'll go through a Lego boot camp.
And I need training. I need further training. Well, I keep thinking that I'm so used to having to build attached to like a flat substrate.
Yeah,
so
base plate or something.
Right? Yeah, with something up. But I'm like, oh, they're literally up. They're literally puppets.
Yeah,
like,
there's nothing that has to attach to anything. You can build it any direction you want. Right. Hey, that's that whole thinking outside the brick that you're talking about.
Yeah. Creative parts, you say.
Yes. Ooh, which we'll get in later.
Well, so the other thing about, and this is kind of in general, because there sort of seemed to be two ways that you could do the mouth movement. It was like you could have the head like tilt back. Right. Which is what I think Brian and Lauren did. Like, I think the head like moved back, or you could have the bottom
like
mouthpiece
like
kind of flop down. Yeah. Which it seemed in terms of weight, that was like the easiest to do because you just had the mouthpiece that needed to move. And that's what they utilize here.
Yeah, right. You can, the teams that did a little bit better in the mouth movements, which Mark and Steven and Zach and Wayne for sure, just had like a little bit of a jaw that would kind of move up and down on the bottom side. And that seemed to be a very easy way to do that without throwing off the whole weight of the puppet as you're trying to move the upper head, or even a, you know, bigger, wider mouth like some of the other teams did. Like Natalie and Michelle had kind of the whole bottom mouth, but that was more like, you know, Will Puppet was, you know, you think of that foam Muppet type style, and it was more similar to that.
Yeah, right. Because it's the whole piece, not just like the little middle bit.
Right.
And then for Samantha, the sassy princess, I don't like the eye rolling. I think is what did it for me. That was my favorite part. I think, is her eyes rolling? Did she just roll her eyes at me? Are you kidding me?
That was even, I think it was Will that said something about that. That was like, she's known for her eye rolling is how they introduced her. And he thought that was pretty funny, which I think, that's great. No, that was really fun to watch. Her eyebrows are really expressive too. I liked her eyebrows.
Yeah, and the fact that they moved and they were all like bushy too, I think that like kind of like made for it. But no, it was super fun. And then, I mean, you know, the skit was pretty much seemed to be the same formula for all of them. They've done this on Drag Race too, where they have to create a character and then it's like, I'm known for blah 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 blah. You know, okay, it's the same formula. That part was like, whatever. The skits were kind of boring, but it was more fun to watch the characters move and see how the Lego pieces could be utilized in different ways to create this movement.
And when the judges are talking about Caleb and Jacob's princess, they were she had a lot of movement. The way they did her arms, mm-hmm. like, were very expressive and, you know, able to kind of flail like I think of when I think of a Muppet. Yeah. Kind of like Grover or, you know, something, Elmo.
It's the skinny, long arms that are just like,
like, yeah, exactly. Kind of, to me, that's just so puppety. I love it.
Yeah, very puppety. Well, speaking of arms, we have to talk about Natalie and Michelle. And then they were paired with Brian and Lauren because Natalie and Michelle had the one issue where their arm fell off.
Yeah, it looked like their connections that they made for their two arms were not maybe the strongest, but they recovered well. They got it put back together very quickly, which was good. And I did love the curlers and the little floral pattern they made for the shirt. That was really cool, too.
It was very grandma. I don't know if that's like an insult, but that's like,
no, I mean, that's what they were going for. It was Betty Bricks, the singing grandma diva. I mean, how much more could you ask for? And I was trying to figure out the arm that didn't fall off. It looked like she had kind of the Katharine Hepburn at Breakfast at Tiffany's tile, like, you know, cigarette holder, the long skinny ones. I was trying to figure out what that was, but I like that touch too.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But this is, this is an example where, like, they have so much detail, but just because it was so bulky, right, with the two ways that you were saying you could go about, you make tiny and light or big and bulky. The big and bulky allowed for them to have a lot of those details, but then it made, I mean, it looked like, was it Michelle who was working the headpiece, I think, who just looked like she was so struggling so hard.
Man, that looked lift that. Heavy. Yeah. It so looked heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
And both of these teams, Brian and Lauren's, Princess Pup Hazel also was kind of on that heavier, kind of bulkier side. So side by side, I think they made a really good pair because of that. They both had that style with them.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's one of those situations where if that's your pair team and you see what they're doing, and you're like, oh, okay, so we're making them big and bulky. Or, you know, like,
yeah, right. You kind of gauge off them because if, you know, when they're, you know, first interviewing both the teams, Brian and Lauren was like, yeah, I think we have our idea a little more well cemented than Natalie and Michelle. So maybe, you know, that was kind of a play off of, oh, this is a scale they're going for. Maybe we should go for that scale too.
Right. Yeah. To go with the Hazel, the princess pup, which if it were
adorable,
it's so adorable. The eyes, the mouth. I just want to hug it, even though I know it's Lego and it's going to hurt me, but it's so cute.
Yeah, I have a scar from actually falling on a Lego end table I made. So don't be careful there.
Yeah, I won't hug any Lego dogs anytime soon.
It was so cute. I agree.
I'm so disappointed. I mean, you know, so ultimately they end up getting eliminated this episode. And I think it was the right choice, just simply based on the fact that the judges emphasize movement. And they just didn't have that.
And you know, Brian was saying that maybe he didn't open the mouth as much, but they were talking about the ears moving. But I think they wanted like the back and forth or the side to side movement to make those ears wobble is kind of what one of the interviews, you know, in the episode said. But the ears definitely looked attached more for front to back movement. And so I think there was kind of a loss of the ability to see that movement because of that. If they had, you know, moved the head back and forth more than side to side, you might have been able to see those ears move better.
I think it's also tough because that torquing motion for the Legos, I would be nervous that I'm going to break it if I rotate it that much too. So if puppeting the Hazel, the princess pup, I would be nervous to swing it so hard, especially because the ears looked heavy. I feel like I'd turn it and they would just go, woo!
Sling off.
Yeah, just sling off.
Well, so, you know, that's what separates the Lego masters from the Lego not masters.
That's true. They know
Lego
what they're doing.
Lego apprentices, Lego not.
I don't even think I count as that. I think like knows Legos exist, played with them as child. Is that the description?
Gave all hers to her sisters.
Yeah, exactly. Realized her sister is a total wacko with so many and was like, yeah, you have them. You keep them.
I know. I was like, I've never bought a Harry Potter Lego set in my life, but I own a bunch of them because of you.
Yep. You have all of my Harry Potter Legos. Oh, man. I miss my Harry Potter Legos.
Now okay. Well, you can come play with them. It's fine.
Yay. It's like going to grandma's house.
Play with your Legos. I can play with all the toys and eat Taco Bell at 2 a.m. and drink wine and play video games. It'll be good.
Yay. And sour gummy worms.
Okay. And sour gummy worms. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, last pair of teams we got to talk about, Zach and Wayne and Dave and Richard. So Zach and Wayne had the fencer, I think Panaccio was his
Panaccio,
name?
Panaccio, the pompous fencer. He had a last name, but I forgot to write it down.
Yeah, I just wrote down Panaccio. So yeah. Sorry, Panaccio, unknown last name. And DJ Treats.
Yeah.
The DJ with the Jamaican accent that kind of went out every once in a while, but it was a good effort.
It was fun. I think these were also kind of similar scale sizes as well.
Yeah,
they were both on kind of the lighter side. You could get, you know, some detail, but the movement was really good. I loved the way they used kind of the, you know, Lego has these rope pieces or string pieces that have a little bit of a plastic attachment part every once in a while, and they use those for the dreads.
The
that was really neat.
Yeah.
And then on, yeah, Panaccio, the using the leaf pieces on his hat was really cool. They had a lot of good details between the two of them, I thought.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point to bring up, that the pairs matched each other, because I felt they also had the, like, the puppet arms, the like really long, thin, super movable puppet arms. So I think that combined with then all the other movement that they had really made these two work well together.
Yeah.
The fencer, especially with the little hat tip,
m'lady. Yeah, that was so neat. At your service.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the eyes moving with the mouth. I thought that was a really cool touch, too, and really made the emotion of the puppet talking show up a lot more, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it added, it like connected it all together, right? Which is, I think, one of the things that the judges liked as well. And then with the cape feeling like it was flowing like fabric. I mean, I think there's a reason why Zach and Wayne ended up in the top, because they had all of those details.
Yeah, for sure. And we're definitely, I mean, you know, we're at six teams now. So we've gotten rid of half of them, or eliminated half of them. And so we're definitely getting into the area where we're like, you know, we've got a good set of builders going on. And it's just going to be hard no matter who gets eliminated from now on. Kind of, you've had enough time to get to know all these teams, and it's kind of like, oh man, you know, I don't want anybody to go home.
They're all so good. Also, like, this is such a solid top six. It's really, really impressive. They just, like, everything they do. Like, I'm looking at Dave and Richards right now, the way the head moves. They actually got the, and it's perfect.
The headphones
the
were
Jamaican
awesome too.
DJ. Oh yes,
yeah. I love the headphones.
they looked so real. And the face, like the way the face is shaped, like all of that sculpting is really cool. And the way that the hair goes along with all the like intense head movement. I think all of that is just, it's just really fun to watch. That's,
and I'm
oh my God,
a sucker for waving your hands in the air like you just don't care.
Like you just
I don't got
care.
Way into rap and R&B in the 90s. And that is like my era of rap and R&B that I know really well. And actually, just random tangent. I heard a cover by Death Cab for Cutie of the song Waterfalls by TLC.
What?
That is amazing. And I am
is this
addicted
recent?
To it right now. Yeah. They put out a cover album with like six, I think it's like six songs on an EP or something, but or an LP. But yeah. So
I'll check that out.
Yeah. Greg doesn't, my husband doesn't even like Death Cab for Cutie, but he liked that cover, so I'm good there.
You can listen to it in the car without feeling bad about it.
Oh, I don't at all. I was like singing at the top of my lungs when I first heard it after getting over the shock of hearing what it was. I was like, Death Cab for
Is
Cutie?
Is it in
what?
Their style? It's in their style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Okay. I'll send it to you. It's great.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I'll check it out.
Sorry. Random tangent.
Okay. So that's sort of the summary of what all of the teams put together. And Zach and Wayne end up in the top with Mark and Steven. Mark and Steven ultimately end up winning here, which I'm not going to lie, I was a little shocked. I don't know if it's because the setup of the episode was like, oh, I don't know if it's big enough. Oh, I don't know if it's good enough.
Yeah.
Because I felt like Zach and Wayne's maybe had more of the movement element.
Yeah, and a little more maybe character development. But at the same time, I don't know. It's, you know, there were a few blockier parts to Zach and Wayne's than there were, you know, you were just talking about how do they make all those curved surfaces.
Yeah.
When we were talking about Mark and Steven. So yeah, I can get it. I think it was very close for me, and I wouldn't have been surprised either way, honestly, on that one.
I think if you combine the puppeteering part of it as well, because I felt Mark and Steven, whoever did the voice, was really funny.
Dude, yeah, that was made me laugh. So that good.
I loved it. It was great.
so much fun.
In terms of character development, I feel like Mark and Steven have them there. So maybe that was ultimately the decision. But again, it's like splitting hairs here for these top teams.
Yeah, right.
Which then leaves us with the bottom two, which are Lauren and Brian and Michelle and Natalie. And it's so funny because I think back to maybe that, whatever the first podcast we did, I was like so in on Lauren and Brian. I was like,
yes, oh, yeah, they're gonna going to go all the way. Yeah, I know. I do. I agree with this choice. I think the movement, you know, was obviously stressed as a big part, and we just didn't see it as much for theirs, you know, versus even though Michelle and Natalie's arm fell off, you know, it was still trying to move, and they did a really good job keeping the mouth moving and everything. The other thing I kept thinking of, and it was during the episode when I was watching it the first time around, was, oh no, we're seeing a lot of backstory on Lauren and Brian again.
The
last podcast we talked about how we haven't heard from them at all. So either they're going home or something big's happening.
Yeah, it was like they're winning or going home. There is no other option apart from winning or going home. And then when they weren't announced at the top, I was like, oh crap, they're going home.
Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah. That is one thing I've learned from you, is paying more attention about the editing and how the episode story comes together. Clues of foreshadowing.
Survivor has ruined me. Like, I can't not think about the edit of shows now.
No, that's fair. I mean, it's a big part of reality shows, because you don't know how much. I mean, I'm sure they have way more multiple times of footage than they show. So, yeah, the choices that they make there is interesting.
It's the choice. Yeah. And then, of course, at the end of this episode, they were just all so sweet and really supportive. And
it did make me think a little bit of, like, if you and I were on the show, I'd be like, she's grown so much. And
I know.
And I'm so proud of her. So I get it. I totally get it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
No eye rolls from me or Sassy. What was her name? Sassy Samantha. Samantha the Sassy Princess. Sassy. Yes. Yeah, no eye rolls from either of us.
No Samanthas here.
Episode 9, Land and Sea. So Evil Will is back for this episode, because we get this Evil Will takeover. Was this from season 1 and I just completely forgot it happened?
Oh yeah, it was. And I forgot to look up what episode it was in, because I do remember him in season 1, but I don't remember why at all. I think it might have been wonder if it was the team one where they had to mash up their superhero and their evil. It might have. I don't know. Yeah. Evil Will's fun, though. I liked his little, like, cart that he rolled around in with his evil little Lego rabbit, I guess. I'm assuming it's evil because it was on his cart. But he had a little Lego rabbit. On his right side of his cart as he was rolling around. But then he also had, like, you know, a bunch of fountain drink, like, cups and stuff. One of them fell off while he was riding around the Lego, like, things. I don't know why I paid so much attention to that, but I thought it was
funny.
You're
like obsessed with the cart. Like, the cart has nothing to do with anything.
I know. I just think it's funny when you just, like, have a cart you can't move around in. And you're just, like, driving around taunting people.
I like it when people have to try to back up and it's like, beep. It's like awkward. Like,
yeah, it makes me think of Austin Powers.
Yes, when they're stuck in the, Okay, so Land and Sea. Yeah, so Evil Will's back, which apparently Marisa is telling me was a thing, which, sure, I believe her. And this was emotional for me, because when Will was like, we're splitting the team in half, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I think this was, because they never did anything like this in the first season, so I think it was a really interesting judge of, you know, figuring out who maybe the dominant builder is or not. But I mean, we're in such strong teams right now, that's even hard to say too. But yeah, it was, I think if you're used to building with somebody a lot, that would be really hard to be like, well, do I know enough about what they're going to build? Well, and they didn't know that it was going to get recombined, obviously, for a couple teams. But yeah, this is a hard one. I think I did like the twins' kind of reaction to it, though. Caleb was like, oh, I don't know about building on my own. And Jacob's like, or no, it was the other. Yeah, Jacob was like, oh no, I'm fine. Like, this is kind of fun to build my own thing.
yeah, Caleb, I'm having separation anxiety building on my own. Jacob's like, yeah, I'm really enjoying building.
Yeah, this is great. It's like, oh no, the twins are splitting. Oh,
it's the twin tuition not coming through there.
Twin wishing.
So we split the teams in half. One person has to build something from the land and one person has to build something from the sea. I don't think they specified animals because, like, clearly Richard built coral. Yeah.
Well, so technically that's an animal, actually.
Coral's alive?
Coral is alive. It is part of the family. Well, I can only think of the old family, Nedaria. I forget what the new one is, but it grows,
but not like a plant. It's like an animal.
No, it's an animal.
Oh, yeah. They're an animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are in colonies. Some of them are individuals. Because I used to TA a class called historical geology, half of the class was going over the fossil record from like kind of beginning to modern day. And we talked a lot about the evolution of life as far as complexity. And so we spent a lot of time on corals. So I have a lot of opinions on corals.
Okay.
And a lot of hindsight, like, oh, they could have done this or they could have done this.
So. All right. Well, I'll be sure if I ever have a trivia question about coral, I'll call you up. If
you can
it's
be my phone
allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So build on their own. And then ultimately, they only had 5 hours for the first part, which I think should have been the indication of, okay, then something else is going to happen because the builds are 10, 12, 11 hours, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Our smallest one, I think, has been 8 overall. So.
Oh, is the total amount of time? Yeah.
Yeah, for a big build, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So then they come back together and they have to mash up their two characters, which I'm not, from the logistics perspective, it was unclear to me that they could just take everything apart, right? But they
pieces? It still had to, it had to be a completely new animal, but it had to have elements of both of the other animals in it. So I think there was, you know, and maybe there were some rules we didn't see because we know that's happened on a couple other episodes, but maybe there was, you know, you still had to recognize both animals within the new build, but it had to be well meshed enough to be a new creature is kind of how I saw it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think I was just like very confused as the technical requirements of each.
Right.
So, because I thought at first it was like, you just have to put the two creatures together and then build around it. But then they started taking them apart. So I was like, okay, well, clearly that's not the case. So I think the description that you gave is probably correct, which is that it's got to be new, but you still have to be able to see the elements of both, which is, I think, like where Dave and Richard kind of struggled a little bit because they had the penguin, but then it was all penguin, no coral.
And yeah, just the mohawk of coral, which as a build by itself, I absolutely loved because I went into mohawk when I was like 4. But and for various other reasons. But yeah, no, I think, you know, Amy stresses it at one point that the mashup is a big part of it. And you have to have that mashed together creature.
And it had to be something new also. So I think the fact it was like it's too much penguin.
Yeah. Too much penguin, not enough coral.
But again, I think that's what I'm saying is I have a little bit of empathy for them in that situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if I struggle to understand the rules, you know, I mean, maybe they did too. I don't know what this.
Well, and I don't know if it's necessarily a struggle to understand the rules initially, because initially they didn't know they were going to mash up anything. So if you are building any sort of sea creature, I mean, there are thousands and millions of sea creatures out there. Like, build a giant amoeba. That's still an animal.
You know? Yeah.
Versus any sort of land animal. I think there's such a big variety. And then, you know, scale comes into play on some of these teams too. So I think there was so much that depended on those first choices that you couldn't make together that made it difficult to come together in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's tough. I mean, especially you see some of the teams that were just like, what the hell are we going to do with this? I mean, I like Mark and Steven.
Oh, man, the scale difference.
Because the trap was so tough.
I know. And it was one of those that, you know, they have a clip of the judges being like, are you sure you want to go that scale? You know,
and he's like, yeah.
And I mean, it looked really good. It was a really good dress. Yes. But next to that giant jellyfish, I could see that stress in their eyes and completely understand it of what the heck are we going to do?
Like, I... Because I think it wasn't even just that it was a jellyfish. It was that the jellyfish was so big and the giraffe was so small.
I know. That was hey, but you know, so like funny. You said, they got the colors going for them. So,
I mean, yeah. And look, they ended up being safe. So like clearly it was all right. But
in the end, I mean, I think there was, I was talking. So I watched this episode with my husband today when I was taking notes and he was like, well, what else do you do? I mean, it's a jellyfish and a giraffe. And I was like, well, maybe you could have, instead of just sticking the head, like the neck on the top, you could like sculpt a little bit around it to make it blend in together. But mm-hmm. yeah, otherwise I don't know what you'd do with that.
The only other thing I could think of, but then like seemed really creepy, because they did the tentacles as the zebra or not zebra, giraffe style.
Yeah.
I mean, a totally new animal.
Yeah. Right.
The giraffe style tentacles. What if they put like giraffe cool. heads yeah. on the end of all of it?
Oh, so that would have been
like
crazy.
A bunch of like, I don't know. What do I know?
Well, I went kind of the other way in that there's a Futurama like alien creature that has like kind of a jellyfish head with eyes on it. And then kind of a blobby looking weird body. So you could have put the jellyfish head on the giraffe, but you would have had to make a big, much bigger giraffe to do that.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's tough with the scale issues, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about each of the teams. Let's start with Dave and Richard. They were the first ones to get critiqued. And so we talked about this, but Dave built the penguin.
Yep. Poco Rocco and well, CBGBs, which I love the throw out to CBGBs there. Like the CBGBs.
Oh. I was like, what? it's above my pay grade and to get that.
Haven't been in a punk band when I was younger. Like, of course, I love this build anyway. But yeah, the coral part, you know, was the mohawk like we talked about, which was really awesome and really colorful. But the rest of it was a penguin. Mm-hmm. Even though like the guitar was awesome, the rug it was standing on was awesome. It had like a little, you know, dead fish bones. The whole diorama part of the build was really good, but it just didn't incorporate the coral enough.
I do really wonder if the amp, for example, had more of that coral design, because all of those little elements I thought were really neat and really came together to create something at least felt somewhat new. I do wonder though, if they had just been like, it's still too much penguin.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah,
maybe fundamentally you can make the core is a penguin,
and it's mostly the penguin.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, because there's fan coral, so maybe you could make its wings the fan coral or something like that, or you know, the guitar is part of it and make that more corally, and it's part of this penguin, or you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, it's not new enough because it's not coral, or like it is coral, but it's. You can still tell it's a penguin, even if the coral looks now like all these other things.
Right. But yeah, somehow bring that coloring into it a little
more. Yeah, I'm not sure. And then
all hindsight. So how do you, again, it's two very different things.
Monday morning quarterbacking. So the one other thing is, this is, you're not going to get this because you don't watch Drag Race, but this is a very obscure, like, this is a really weird subset of people that are going to get this, but this comes courtesy of Randy Newpool, who reached out to me and was like, please compare this guy's coral to Lala Ree's bag look from RuPaul's Drag Race. So if you get this reference, I laughed really hard because
I'm gonna Google it.
Okay. Because it very much like similar energy. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Dave and Richard, but it was
I did not Google that. Right.
Dave built a whole penguin. And Richard had these cute little corals, but like, just in comparison, it felt very different to me. Okay.
Scale what? Well, yeah, I think it came back to that scale thing of like,
yes, okay, the scale was very different.
Yeah, versus, you know, that the coral actually reminded me a little bit of the flowers and stuff in the wind episode. Like, you know, kind of, I can see him flowing on the seabed, you know, kind of waving back and forth, but.
The other thing with Dave and Richard, and this also kind of goes back to with Lauren and Brian, was that we got a little bit more of the Dave's
backstory,
relationship with his kid. Yeah. I know. And
I know.
Nose.
I had the same thought. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. No. No.
Because yeah, the note from his son was so cute. I actually paused so and took sweet. A screenshot because so he said, it says, "Good luck, love, Elliot." But yeah. it's a kid, right? So it just says, "God luck, love, Elliot." It's so cute.
It's so sweet. Yeah.
So sweet. So adorable. Very cute. Yeah. And that's just neat to be able to take those kinds of things with you when you go to compete on the show. Cause like, for example, you know, we're in the middle of a Big Brother season. Like you cannot have anything really from the outside world. So able to take those little notes with you, I think is really adorable. But
yeah, no, for sure. When you're cut off, because they also filmed this, you know, during still the height of COVID. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure they were quarantined for the 2 or 3 weeks, however long it took to film this. So
yeah, before the filming can start. Yeah, exactly. Next up is Natalie and Michelle. So Michelle builds a rat while Natalie builds, or no, the other way around. Which one is
no, right? You were right. Michelle built the rat. Yeah.
Okay. Michelle built the rat and Natalie built the jellyfish. Yes.
Which, well, she was going to build the jellyfish.
Yeah. But ends up making the electric eel. Yes. Because I am 100% on the same page as her. Absolutely. I do not want my jellyfish compared to your jellyfish. Even if I feel like I would do a better job, I still don't
want to. It's so much easier to compare those two things. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. No, I think that was a really, like, I know I'm sure it frustrated the heck out of her, but I think that was a very smart choice to do that.
Yeah. And it's tough to feel like, okay, well, I'm the one who has to scrap the idea, but look, yeah. You made the right call, I think, ultimately in the long run. I thought she maybe would try to switch to something like an octopus. It's like kind of similar.
Yeah,
maybe,
I thought that too, actually.
It's too much. It's
maybe too much. Similar. Yeah. Who knows?
But so then they have to bring together the electric eel and the rat, which they ended up building Ratelian, mm-hmm. I think was its
who
name.
Who lives in Budapest.
In Budapest!
So my penchant for cheese and puns came together really well in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Not Budapest, the cheese world.
I know. Oh, that was great. Yeah. So, yeah, they had kind of similar scale builds. So that was good, you know, going into trying to combine them. But they're definitely very different builds as well, as far as trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And the biggest complaint, you know, that the judges had was that the world was almost overwhelming for the character and you kind of lost the character in it, which I do agree with. But they used Lego bats as eyebrows. And that was so fun. I loved their use of bats as eyebrows for this creature.
Talk about creative parts, you say.
Oh, I know. It was pretty good. They did diss blue cheese, which I love and actually have gotten into fights with people over.
Because you like blue cheese and other people don't.
Yeah, it's always the there's these buffalo rolls at one of the restaurants I like going to. And it's always a debate of who at the table wants ranch versus blue cheese.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm also a blue cheese gal. So yeah. Maybe it's genetic.
Yeah, right. But I did like their little chunk of blue cheese. I thought that looked really cool on their mousetrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they did a good job combining the two. I think and it was just maybe that was the point. They wanted it to feel very immersive in the cheese world. But because I think both the cheese was yellow and the
spines kind of on the back.
Spines were yellow. I think that's why it just sort of really blended in. Like maybe if those were a different color, it would have stood out a little bit more. But the way that they combined them, I thought was cool.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked the face of the rat. So I'm glad they kept that as, you know, kind of the face part of it. Not that the eel was bad, but I think the rat face was more character-y and kind of developed a little bit better, I guess.
Yes. Speaking of developing, I am so excited to talk about Zach and Wayne's, because when Zach built that lionfish,
holy cow,
whoa.
Yeah, that thing was crazy. I love the fact, too, that he starts off, you know, the little interview with him is like, oh, I've always wanted to build a lionfish. Like, oh, sure, as you do. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a really brightly colored. I could see why it would be a really cool model. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really well done. I liked it a lot.
And then with Wayne building the crocodile, which also came out really good, I thought that helped them because the scale was pretty close and it seemed to be relatively easy for them to match the two together. So that's great that they were able to, I don't know, so just know what scale to build on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it also, so it made me think of one of the episodes from last season. So, you know, we've talked about how they have to roll their builds over sometimes for the display. And so as Zach is rolling his lionfish over, the tail falls apart. But it made me think of the episode from last season where they had to build a sky rise. But then the twist was they had to build a scene on the Skyrise. And so they all are wheeling their Skyrises over. And one of the teams, I don't remember who, the Skyrise starts to fall apart as they're wheeling it over. But then they find out there's a second part of the challenge. And it's kind of the redemption of, you know, being able to fix that before it's too detrimental.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah. And that, I mean, that's, they got lucky. Again, it was the 5 hours. So hopefully they would have thought, at least there's something that could save us. But I could imagine that feeling of the emotional roller coaster of going from, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And then, no kidding. Oh, thank God.
I mean, you can see it was like a split second, but after they show the shot of it breaking and he wheels it into place, there's just a shot of Zach for a split second, just like turning around instantly and like walking away. I know. Yep, that would have been me. Oh man, smash it all.
I'm out. I'm done.
Right. I also like that once they combine their build into a lion croc, they gave it a scientific name, which I forgot to write down what the name was. It was like Regulus. Crocodilus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know. That was great.
Theirs was terrifying combined it. It was actually genuinely scary.
So cool looking, though. I think it fell into a little bit of that same as Natalie and Michelle, where the background detracted a little bit from the creature, you know, but
I felt the same.
The way they put the face together was just awesomely terrifying.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised the judges didn't say anything about it, because the fact that the background was also orange and green, I had a hard time seeing some of the detail, and it was hard to tell when the Regulus Crocodilus ended and then when the kind of mountain behind them started.
Yeah, I mean, but it was a neat background, but yeah, I agree. I think it's that similar thing to Natalie and Michelle's, where it blended in too much. Mm-hmm.
Caleb and Jacob are up next, and this is the chameleon meets the lobster. The chameleobster is ultimately what they end up bringing. And I think they had the exact opposite, I don't want to say problem, but they had the exact opposite thing where theirs, because it was elevated up on that log and it was completely a different color, it was really obvious.
Yeah, no, I think they highlighted the mashup really well because they chose to put it on a brown log, which, you know, kind of blended into the background, but the log was still built really well. And their world, you know, they were in the bricky bog, I think is what they called it. So, but it seemed like a good environment for a lobster chameleon mashup. You know, it's kind of waterish, but also landish. And yeah. And as far as scale of the builds and type of builds, by far, I think they had the most similar as far as the two creatures and the size of the two creatures to put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I'm looking at it now. I was trying to decide if I think they were assigned a color, but I actually don't think that was the case, because then I think both Mark and Steven would have gotten yellow.
Yeah, right. They would have tried to switch colors or do something like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So never mind.
Yeah.
But I thought what they did really well with them, and maybe it was because, again, they had the similar scale, it's like the true integration of the two characters just really stood out on their little chameleobster.
Yeah. Plus, it did lend itself to a good name, too, the way the two names meshed together.
The portmanteau.
Yeah, exactly. I think of all the mashup names, you know, Chameleobster and Ratelian actually were my two favorites on those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mark and Steven, we got to talk about it. The massive jellyfish, the tiny giraffe.
Oh my God.
I couldn't stop laughing.
And at the end of the invisual part, I was like, they're so different. Oh no.
So funny.
No. Yeah. I mean, they did. I think it was Steven that said something about, well, at least they're the same color, you know. Yeah, right. Well, yeah, you got that going for you. But I did.
At least they're both yellow.
Yeah. I did like the story they kind of put together of it being in the kelp savanna, and the plants that they had did look, you know, kind of more of a, used to be underwater with the clear bricks or, you know, the clear greens in there. And those are really neat. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I think Amy makes a comment of, well, it looks like a giraffe head stuck on it.
Yeah.
And jellyfish. It's like, well, yeah, there's not a whole lot you can do with a giraffe. So
yeah. And they like, yeah, I think the one thing that you had said about maybe trying to make it more integrated with the because it very much it like domes up and then it's just like sticking right out of the top.
Maybe you could take the spots down into the jellyfish a little bit or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's all hindsight, especially when you're panicked of looking at the two sizes of the build. And I'm sure like your brain's just like, what the hell?
I think my brain would just shut down and be like, I have no clue.
Yeah, exactly. Under that pressure. Yeah. Who knows?
So here we have the gel raft. And I mean, they had confidence enough to not use the brick, which, by the way, they didn't end up using in the first two episodes and end up using it. I assume at the last. Wait, when did they end up using it? Did they use it here?
Next episode.
The next episode.
No, they didn't use it in this one, which I was thinking, I was like, well, you know, there's five teams left. There's a 60% chance they don't end up in the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought like, just
I was a risky move. I thought it was pretty risky on that one just because, but they, you know, they said it was a calculated risk. So it worked out for them.
Right. I mean, they did ultimately didn't need it, right? Because they ended up being safe. But I feel like my anxiety would have kicked.
Oh, God. I know. You and me both. I was just like anxious watching them.
I know. Same. Like, are you sure? Are you sure?
So
the top two teams from this episode, Zach and Wayne and Caleb and Jacob. And Caleb and Jacob end up winning, which, of course, ninth time is the charm, is what they say.
And I do think this was the right decision, but I did write down that poor Zach and Wayne, like, it's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. They have been in second place so many times and so consistent, like, I feel so bad for them.
So they were always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And then Dave and Richard, who end up, which, you know, so our bottom two teams are Michelle and Natalie and Dave and Richard, and Dave and Richard end up getting eliminated here. They had one of the best track records, I felt like.
Yeah, they won a lot of challenges.
Yes, they won a ton of challenges. They were safe, second place, win, at risk, so maybe not the best there, but safe, win, safe.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at like Caleb and Jacob, for example, they were safe, risk, safe, risk, second place, safe, win, risk.
Yeah.
So that ends up like, it's just, it's really interesting to see them, you know, they had the high highs and maybe the low lows.
Well, and first time I watched this episode, I was actually pretty shocked that they were the ones that went home. And I think it's because I like the build so much. But on my rewatch, you know, for taking notes, I was like, okay, well, they did stress a lot about the meshing of the animals together. And so, okay, I guess I can understand why. Because, I mean, it's not bad build by any means. These are all, like we said, we're in the top group. Everybody's doing awesome. But yeah, so I ultimately ended up like, okay, yeah, I can see that. But yeah, I was shocked when they said it the first time.
Yeah, I think that's tough because it's like your build is great, but if you didn't fulfill the requirements of the challenge, then unfortunately, like, that ends up really working against you.
Right. That's just like, you know, I watch a lot of Forged in Fire, which is the knife making or sword making show. And if they give you a couple parameters, and if you don't make it, they don't even judge your thing. So
okay, next episode. Episode 10, Flip My Block, where there's no room for sleeves today.
So I decided I forgot to say that in the last one. We got a shout out to the Smartless podcast in the last episode when Evil Will talks about having to leave because he has a podcast. And the way they always end Smartless is how he leaves, which is bye.
Bye.
Anyway, so one of my first notes in this episode was Sleeveless, a new Will podcast.
Yeah, it's not Smartless.
Now it's Sleeveless.
I don't know what they would talk about. Fashion podcast, I suppose.
I guess. Not wearing sleeves.
Sleeveless, yeah.
It's too hot.
This is the home makeover show version where the contestants have to take mundane houses, which were already built, and then I assume incorporate those pieces, but I'm not entirely sure again on the details of the challenge. They did or did not?
No, they did say you had to use all the existing blocks on that square.
Okay, that makes sense. And turn it into the wildest house in the... I have written down country, but I feel like it should be neighborhood, but whatever.
I think they did say country.
Country?
So, you know.
And this is, again, very motion-centric, but this time using motors, right? So, which I think Zach and Wayne talked about power functions. That's thing.
That's what they're actually called. So it's a set of Lego parts that are either motors or the controller for the motors, or, you know, there's actually like light sensors. There's all sorts of stuff, but it's kind of this set of parts that you can just buy like a kit of power functions, and it's okay, everything that's run off of power. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, it wouldn't be a Lego Masters challenge without including storytelling. So who lives there? So yeah, you need to include that in terms of in combination with all of the movement. This is definitely
color.
Yes. Oh, and color.
Color.
Oh, yes.
It was emphasized several times that it had to be very colorful, which there was a couple builds like while they were building, I was like, I don't know if they're going to get the color. But then, you know, when they finally revealed them, I'm like, oh, OK, I can see it.
I see the color now.
So much color.
Well, that was, I think my favorite part of this episode was when they showed what it, which is the, you know, obviously the selling point of every home renovation show, what it was before and then what it is after.
Yeah.
That right. was so cool because especially Zach and Wayne's, like, they don't even look like they were the same at all at any point in time.
Yeah.
They're
you have
so different.
Absolutely. You kind of start with, you know, they show these four little, I mean, they're somewhat colorful little houses, but look like some little suburban cookie cutter, ticky tacky neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they have to take that. I was actually worried a little bit because it looked like, you know, each swath was a bigger rectangle, but it looked like they only had to take the front square off that. So there wasn't as much room as I thought they were going to have to fill out, which was good because that would have been a heck of a thing.
That was huge. That would have been huge.
But yeah, so since they had to take those colors, and I think, you know, like you said, Zach and Wayne drove their design based on the color they got, which was kind of this pinkish purple color, and did a really good job with it mm-hmm. as far as integrating it in.
Well, and that's what they were inspired by, right? So the color then led to the flying pink pig home, which to me, if you're trying to build the wildest house in the country, this is the wildest house in the country.
Yeah, it was very, there was a little bit of like steampunk in the little propellers at the top, but their movement was so amazing. Zach, you know, said that's his thing. And episode one, they had the best movement, I thought, out of all of the teams. And they ultimately ended up winning that episode too. And, you know, they talk about how the pig, because in the, you know, Chinese culture, the pig is a symbol for kind of wealth and excess and luck. And they tried to bring that excess into this build, which I thought they did really well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the critique that it was maybe too blocky, but I just feel like with the color and the movement and something so unexpected, I actually really thought that they were going to win the challenge. So I was kind of shocked when they didn't end up being
again.
I know. Always bridesmaid, never the bride. That's right. Always the groomsman, never the groom.
Yeah.
So the thing about them also is the fact that, so they had the three sort of types of movement with the rotation, the wings, and the fans, but then they had multiple versions of that, right? So it was like multiple wings, multiple fans. It was just,
well, and the coordination of all the wings, if you looked at it, they spent a lot of time making sure all the wings on each side coordinated the way they were supposed to, and the fact that they only used one motor to rotate the whole thing at the bottom, like with all that weight, that was impressive to me. I want to see how that's built. Holy cow.
Yeah, talk about a feat of engineering. It was very, very impressive.
Go ahead.
Well, I love the little detail also, the minifigs hanging on the wings. So then when it spun, you also had the minifigs move. So that's sort of a way to introduce passive movement. It's not just the motors. Then you're having these other little, you know, kind of like the dreads that Dave and Richard had, right? It's like this more passive movement. So it adds to the feel of all of the action.
So the other thing we didn't talk about is that halfway or partway through that, they ended up getting this little crate of bricks, of random bricks that they had to incorporate everything of. And so Zach and Wayne got these purple snowboard bricks. And I thought at first I was like, what the heck are they going to use those for? But they used those as feathers on the wings. And that was a really good use of those parts. Good parts usage, as we keep saying.
Yes, I think they called it NPU, nice parts usage.
They did.
I don't know if that's like it's nice versus different than creative, I suppose. Right. But
probably.
But yes. And you couldn't tell that it was this. It looked like it was chosen, that they had designed it that way from the get-go.
Yeah, right. No, they integrated it pretty seamlessly, I thought. Yeah. The only other thing I can say about their build is because there is an old Kids in the Hall skit, which was a Canadian sketch comedy where they have a flying pig, which is supposed to be this like angel that comes down and entertains you when you're standing in lines for things. Just for some reason, when they announced they were doing a flying pig, that's all I can think about. So there's an obscure reference for you right there.
Our brains are wonderful things. So the next team is Mark and Steven, who ultimately end up winning this challenge, and they have the Rock and Roll Haunted House.
Yeah, this was, I was like, okay, those are two things you can put together. That's,
again, Mad Libs version of Legos.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and these are, you know, this team, I was a little worried about at first because as they're building their house, there didn't seem to be a lot of color in it. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of tan, and the original house they got was tan. So I got that, but it was not really until the very end reveal of the whole house where it was like, oh, there's all the color. You could see a little bit because they got, their little, thing of bricks they got was little yellow coffee cups. And they did a really cool job putting those as fence railing and then as teeth to their monster plant, which started to bring in some color. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. About.
It was also, the top of the chimney, I think, is where they put them also. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why they won. I had
already written down in my notes that Zach and Wayne won.
And then
really? I agree. I was confused by this one, too. I'm not going to lie. It was a bad build, but it was...
Yeah.
If motion was such a big influence, Zach and Wayne, I thought Zach and Wayne's motion was better.
I think maybe, so they have a lot, like I'm looking at it now and I feel like Zach and Wayne had a lot of big movement, but now that I'm looking at it, Mark and Steven had a lot of little movement. So they have these little creatures in the front, they have the spinning in the back, they have this purple spinny thing that's happening. The roof, I think, moves
it did,
up
yeah.
and down a little bit. So they did have a lot of maybe different elements where the movement wasn't as big, but there was still a lot of movement. So maybe that's ultimately where it came from. But I think from a television perspective, you see the big movement before you see the little movement. And so maybe it's a little bit tougher to appreciate those subtle ways that they were able to incorporate so much movement into the build.
That could be. And this is the only episode I didn't watch twice out of all these. So maybe watching it again, knowing what the outcome was, could have, made me pick out those details a little better for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they do end up giving in the golden brick here.
I felt bad for that, too.
I know. Like, oops, because no one gets eliminated.
Oh, that's got to feel great. But I'm sure it was also like going into the final, you don't want the golden brick out there, too.
Well, I think, if I'm them, I assume this is the last place I can play it because it's the final
you're
four.
Down to four. Yeah.
You can't play it in the finale. Like, it's going to prevent you from going home? Well, spoiler alert, no one's going home, right? Because it's the finale.
Right.
So, or you're all going home, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. They gave it in, but.
Yeah.
I was like,
no, I know. That was one of those, like, oh. So I did like, so they had Dracula that lived there. That was their guy. And Rock and Roll Dracula, which sounds like a really awesome B movie. I would actually be totally into
a sci-fi movie, original movie.
Absolutely. That would be amazing. I like the fact that he annoyed his neighbors. That's even funnier.
Whoops. Maybe that's also why, because they really focused on who lived there. Whereas Zach and Wayne's, I have no idea who lived there. It was just a bunch of people.
It was Gaspar de la Pork.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
Natalie and Michelle are up next, and they did the circus build.
Under the big top. And I didn't get the full name. It was Bob something that lives there. That was like the guy that was on the little top hat rotation thing.
The circus director man. Person.
Yes. Yes, that name.
You know, that's what they call it. No,
that's
what happens
when I only watch once.
Ring top. Hot top. No. What's it called when somebody's ahead
of a master?
Ringmaster. Yes. The ringmaster.
Ring top.
Ring top. Like carrot top.
Yeah.
Should have been carrot top.
I thought out of all the groups, they actually ended up with the easiest crate to like think of off the top, like of just opening their little crate of parts that came halfway through. Yeah.
Little
clown hair pink things. Because That was my initial thought too. As soon as they opened it, I was like, cotton candy.
Yes, cotton candy. Well, and I mean, to be honest though, I think if Zach and Wayne, they had the snowboard pieces, yeah. If Caleb and Jacob had gotten
that. Oh man, yeah, that would have been like
done deal.
It almost would have been too easy though, I feel like too. Like,
yeah, but they didn't know they were going to build a mountain.
No, that's true.
Like a ski resort. They'd be like, oh, you said ski resort.
I just wonder if the judging would have like come into play there of like, oh, well, you got something that already like fits with your thing versus.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, Natalie and Michelle, so they have the whole circus thing. And when they turn it on, they have issues with some of the spinning, like not working. But then they do end up ultimately get it working, which is good. I don't know, like something got stuck or something. But the big critique for them was just that the movement was all very similar. It was all the spinning in one direction movement.
Yeah, all rotation versus like up and down or side to side, something like that, that would have made it a little more variety in there. And they talked about, you know, even during the episode that that was not their strong suit. So that was the part they were struggling with the most. Because, I mean, they're great model builders. That first episode where they had, or I don't know if it was the first one, but the one they had all of the like art supplies, that was really cool. Mm-hmm. So they can definitely build well. But yeah, the movement, I think, really, really threw them off in this episode.
Well, and that's the thing is that I thought the circus looked really cool. It was just the movement in comparison to the other builds just didn't seem to have as much to it. But the actual build itself, when it's static, like that, I thought looked really neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a good job incorporating the house that they got, you know, in those colors into the circus tent type colors with the reds and the whites and the popcorn maker and the little bears coming out of the clown car. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The little bears coming out of the clown car, I thought was, yeah, like you said, just a really cute element. And then that and the popcorn machine were the two things of note that I thought really, really made it stand out a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Caleb and Jacob, we got to talk about the brothers. They built the ski resort, which we alluded to, and the sort of like house moving thing. They had the ski lift as well, and they had to incorporate snakes.
Oh man, that was the one that I was like, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
And they actually ended up using one of the ideas that I was thinking of is because the way the snakes are is like, well, you could kind of make like a fancy railing or an accent, you know, a curved accent on a house. And they ended up doing that on a couple of the roof lines and then actually using them on the roof lines. But they developed their ski resort mountain into a volcano as well.
That was smart. That was kind of, because that also, they had so many snakes.
There were like, so many.
Because my guess is they just filled the bin with whatever the special part was. So less of the little cotton candy things are going to fit in there. More little tiny snakes are going to fit in there.
Yeah,
so
right.
Apart from just some sort of weird apocalyptic snake attack, like what are you going to do with that? There's just so many.
Yeah, no, it was, oh man, that was... Yeah. So I liked the fact that they use those snakes like for the lava kind of running down the mountain along with the skiers.
Right.
I was also like, I don't think I'd want to be skiing there.
I think I would probably leave, but yeah, I'm not going to be staying.
This was the other build, though, that when they, you know, a lot of the first shots of it, I was like, oh, this is a lot of gray. How are you going to bring that color in? You know, and then they showed all the little different house colors. And I think they did a good job bringing color in on those house elements. And then the two giant skis, which were actually the same color as the snowboards that Zach and Wayne got, which I thought was kind of funny. But
purple color. The thing for them is I think they also had less movement. So, you know, they just had the two ski,
rotating,
the two skis,
yeah,
rotating the house going up and down. And then they did have the ski resort or the ski lift, but then they couldn't attach anything to it. Cause it's like, how do you get it to go around that corner without jamming, which is my assumption is they were able to build it, but then they couldn't add anything attached to it, which of course is then the judges are going to be like, well, I wish you would attach something to it. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Right.
But it would have broken if it was, you know, so.
Yeah. So we opted for something that kept moving versus something that fell apart when it went around a corner. So that was a tough one. I thought their build was pretty fun, and you know, volcanoes do cause earthquakes, so the building moving made sense to me. So
yeah, in context of the natural disaster.
I know, I'm about ready to teach volcanoes next week to my students. So
you should use this as an example.
I should say, totally. I should show a little video of it with the house moving.
Yes. Okay, winners, Mark and Steven, and everyone else is in the bottom, but psych, it doesn't matter because no one is eliminated, and we're going to have the final four going into next week's penultimate episode.
Yeah, so we already talked about a little bit of the shock of the win, and, you know, maybe going back, it makes more sense, like you said, about the all the little different details in the motion. I thought it was kind of a weird choice. I still assume they do two top and two bottom choices in there. So that was kind of weird where they just launched into, well, you won, and then everybody else. But yeah.
It's like, if you're not in the top, you're in the bottom. Sorry. But, you know, we're getting down to...
Can't win and you're losing.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Exactly. So, but yeah, so we had, I mean, we've had an episode like this in the last season where everybody kind of ends up safe. And it plays into our two episodes left. So looks like our next episode is they have to build a castle on a cliff. So I was trying to figure out, it looked like they had like pre-made cliffs with some blocks sticking out and they have to build on it. Is that what you saw?
That's what it looks like to me in the next time on. But there's not a ton of attachment points from what it seems. They're like these little yellow pieces that kind of stick out because the rest of it is, what is it? Where the little studs not facing out?
Not on top?
Studs not on top. Studs not.
No, it's
well, whatever.
Snot.
The studs aren't. Snot.
Snot. Studs not on top. Snot.
Snot. Yeah, okay, it's not. So
Not on top.
It's not on top. They just have those few points to attach. And that, I think, is going to be really challenging because they effectively then have to design around where those attachment points are going to be. And then from what the voiceover said, that the castle that goes out the furthest has a spot in the finale. So I'm going to guess that it's kind of like what we saw in some of the other challenges where it was, you know, the last building standing automatically moves on or gets a spot in the final two. So then after the team that goes out the furthest gets a spot in the finale, I assume the other two spots will then be judged based on aesthetics.
Right. No, I'd agree with that. Yeah. Kind of like you said, the derby, they had the aesthetic portion versus the practical portion. And so, starting off with only being able to connect on, it looks like each of those bricks were just two studs sticking out, you know, that you could connect to. So you've got to pick a bunch of points to try building your structure, but you also have to build around what the cliff face is. So yeah, that's one's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And then that's it. That's our second to last episode. And then afterwards, we're going straight to the finale, I assume, I hope. And then we will have the next Lego Master Crown for season two.
Yeah. So we'll have to look back on, you know, episode one when we broke down who we thought our top three were. Each.
No.
No, you don't want to do that? Is this going to be a Messinger thing for you?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I just prefer not to acknowledge my idiotic takes in the past.
Hey, no. I remember saying Zach and Wayne and Mark and Steven, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that sounds right. We can go back and check. We actually do something like that for our Survivor and Big Brother shows that Mike and I do. And it's always so painful.
Oh, I'm sure.
This past season, I wrote one for, it was like, there was a last minute replacement in the cast where one of the people got, because she tested positive for COVID. And so they put in a replacement.
Yeah.
But I had written the prediction for the woman who didn't even end up playing this season.
Oh no.
And so I'm like, all right, sorry, replacement Claire, like your prediction is going to be this random woman, Christy, that we never saw play. So.
Yeah, right. Oh man.
Love it.
Yeah. But. That's what.
Okay. That does it for us for this episode. Marisa, is there anything else you want to say about episodes 8, 9, and 10 of Lego Masters?
No, they're just a lot of fun. We're definitely in that, like, don't want to see anybody eliminated, but you know, somebody's got to. And yeah, really looking forward to these next two episodes. I think next one's going to be super challenging. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yes, I am as well. And we will be back to talk about that episode. And then of course the finale to get through all of that. Oh, this season has been so good. Really good. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed that they had so many breaks early on, because I hope that doesn't end up hurting the show in the long run, because I just, especially this last go round with having the episodes literally weekly, I, it just, to me indicates
that momentum just builds. Yes. Yeah, right. The momentum. Then Fox is known for being that like series killer of like, oh, we're going to move the times around for X-Files, or we're going to move the times around for Futurama, or
Arrested Development also
does. Yeah,
Fox is terrible at managing their shows. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah. Hopefully, it was still exciting enough for people this year that we get another one and get to keep moving on with it.
Yes. All right, Marisa. So are you going to tweet out a picture of your room?
I will do that. And you can find it at Shenura, which is T-S-E-H-E-N-U-R-A on Twitter. And you can see the massive amount of Legos I have amassed over time.
It's well organized, though, I will say.
It's getting there. Yeah, it's a little messy right now because I'm mid-organization for a couple more tubs. But yeah, it's getting there. A
couple more tubs.
Yeah, I've only got like four left.
Only four. And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. We just had the season finale of All Stars season 6. So Beth, Amon, and I are going to be talking about all of that. And then Mike and I also did an episode of the RHAP B&B for Big Brother. So that should be out as well. I think that's maybe like a week or so old now, but it's timeless. We play games from all throughout Big Brother. So definitely check that out. And that does it for us.
All right.
Yes.
Yay. Marisa,
yes, we did it. We did it. Okay. So should we end the way that Smartless ends?
Let's do it, because, you know, I really like bricks and I like building and I like bye.
Bye. That didn't even make sense. Bye.
Bye.